Happy New Year, Catherine.
Happy New Year.
What's the timetable? Like a week after to not say Happy New Year? It's a week after, right? Give it a solid week of saying Happy New Year's, and then the following week, if you say it again, you're weird, right?
I think it depends on how long it's been since you've seen that person. Like, that's if it's fair. Someone like you work with, but you haven't seen them until like a week after New Year's, it's okay. Happy New Year. If it's like 2 months later, that's a little weird.
That is a tad weird.
It's like, it's not on the forefront of anyone's mind.
It's not new anymore. It's a little expired.
Right, right.
Welcome back, guys, to 2021. Before we get started, just wanting to remind you guys to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because you fucking should. It is the only way we get clout. It is the only way we can get our sponsorship from Blue Apron. And fucking, what's the other one I always forget about?
Oh, the mattress one?
Yeah, Purple Mattress.
Yeah, Casper Purple.
Casper Purple.
Dude, anyone want to sponsor us,
hit us up. Imagine free beds. Imagine free beds, dude. Ugh,
that'd be so nice.
We just have a code and shit. Like,
I think I would just have a bedroom full of beds. You know what I mean? All I do is lounge around anyways. So.
The entire floor is just mattress.
The whole floor is mattress.
An entire room is just a moon bounce.
Yes.
Yeah, leave a 5-star review. Bless up for 2020 was a good year, right, Catherine? We had a lot of listens, a lot of fun prior to COVID.
Well, you said 2020 was a good year, and I'm like, what is he on? And then I realize you're talking about, like, in relation to the podcast. And I'm like,
In relation to this world.
Yeah, in not relation to the podcast, it was a pretty good year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pretty solid year. This year's off to quite a start. You know, I'm currently almost getting a house, pretty close to it. And at the same time, democracy is falling apart. So honestly, it's quite the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
At least for me, 2021's been a shit year so far. So yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm trying to think of, like, you can only go up from here. Right?
There's only up. Right? There's only up or death. Like, it's either or.
See, I think that, and then I'm also reading Handmaid's Tale. So, like, that.
Stop doing that, man. Don't read that.
There's a lot of arguments happening in my brain. But.
Try not to do that, Catherine.
Most of the way through. I'm going to finish.
Like, having to rewatch the opening scene again after what happened, like, a few weeks ago. It's just,
yeah.
I'm just like, it's really get me out of here.
My timing is not great. To be fair, I did buy it before all of this happened, and I've been planning on reading it, and the timing at which current events and me reading this book happened was just not ideal.
Catherine sees that the world's becoming infertile, and she's like, oh my god, Children of Men, I just saw this movie. Crazy. Well, no one can have kids.
And then I watched The Wilds, which, have you seen that?
No, don't spoil it.
Okay, I won't then. I won't.
Tell
me. Let
list,
me just
though.
Tell you, there's a lot of misandry, I just know it's a bunch of energy.
Oh no. All I know is that there's just a lot of chicks on an island, and it feels like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's really good, though. I had a great time.
We don't get enough of that, do we?
I just finished it. I just finished that show about an hour ago.
Do you
ago.
Feel misandrist?
I work with men. I've been there.
I know. Woo! That's too good. That's too good.
Every All day, right. Me joking about hating men feels less and less like a joke.
And proceeds to do a podcast with some dude.
You're okay. You're cool. There are exceptions to the rule.
Not lame.
I don't hate all men, just most of them.
Sick. Speaking of hating men, Brian from the Backstreet Boys apparently likes QAnon. He's a conspiracy theorist. And Kevin was just like, it's a shame I lost a friend. I'm just like, shout out to Kevin, the real one. Him and AJ are the greatest Backstreet Boys.
True.
Number ones for me. They're the best. Easily. Brian is no longer a Backstreet Boy. He is now a lost fucking soul. Fuck that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we should have known. Or maybe we did know. And we just really averted our eyes for so long.
Adding him to the list of celebrities from my childhood who
are dead.
Now just, dead to me.
A real dead to me. But shout out to Kevin. Kevin, we will support you in anything you do. Please come on the show.
Please come on the show. This is an open invite.
Open invite, dude. Whenever, I'll give you the code. I should DM him the Zoom code.
Yeah, see what happens.
And see, he'll just hop in. Vice did a little short documentary on Papa Roach. And there one-hit wonder of Last Resort and how they came up with it, like their kind of backstory. I actually saw it at work, and it's actually pretty interesting and pretty good.
You sent it to me, and then I saw it was a 25-minute long video, and I'm like, I'm going to save this for later. And then I immediately forgot about it.
I promise, it's actually pretty interesting and how it all came about.
I wasn't at a point where I was ready to sit and watch a 25-minute long video.
It is, yeah.
But you know, I have 7 days free ahead of me, so.
I know. I mean, I was at work, and I was just like, you know what, let me see what this shit is about, and it was actually interesting and how they came up with the song, the inspiration behind like the lead's friend who like basically lost his mind to drugs and was like going to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as like the lyrics are cringy, during that time, this was edgy. Like this was to be a radio hit and talk about suicide so bluntly was crazy to think about. But now it's like cringe.
Yeah, but I definitely listened to that song like a lot when I was eight.
I didn't know what the fuck it was. It just sounded awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very interesting that the song was originally composed as a piano, as like
interesting
all piano riff. And I was like, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
So that's kind of all the news I have so far. I mean, there's other news. There's real news, but this is...
Yeah, we're not talking about that news.
Yeah, right now. I really don't want to get into that right now. It's too much. And me and there Catherine already spoke about it.
There are lots of other podcasts about that.
Yeah, go to 1A if you want to hear about this shit.
We're out here trying to live in 2000 right now.
I know. I just want to live where gel bracelets and long hair over my eyes was a thing still.
Miss those days.
I kind of do. It was really bad for my acne, though. Yeah. Faces, it's just, I don't know how people kept, you know, they had a really great skincare and just their hair follicles all over their cheeks. I was like, that's not good.
Can't relate.
So, what is annoying Catherine this week? Should be a toughie.
Well, like there again, I try and keep this one a little bit more light. Like what makes me livid versus what just annoys me, right? So let's think.
Yeah, let's not talk like anger, but let's more of like I stub my toe, kind of shit.
So that's what I'm thinking here.
Yeah.
That's
a very cozy sweater.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, you know what's annoying me? I love sweaters. But my skin is sensitive, so I have to wear shirts under them or I get really itchy.
Mm.
So, you know, and especially it's difficult for when you like need a sweater, but you don't want to have two layers because that's just too hot.
Yeah.
Luckily, today's not one of those days. I needed the two layers, but you
big
know,
like 90s dad outfit attire.
And that's
Bob
why
Saget wore that.
That's what happens every time I wear a sweater. It's dad sweater energy because I need to wear a shirt under it because I can't let the sweater touch any of my skin.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Cool. Skincare facts by Catherine.
Yes.
Sponsored by Neutrogena.
One of the random holes I've fallen down on YouTube in the last month or so is skincare YouTube.
Oh, man.
It's like from dermatologists who believe in scientists. Who believe in science. Not just random people who are like, just smooth aloe on your skin and you don't need to do anything else.
It's hard. Yeah. So rub all the butter on your fucking face.
Right.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's very interesting to find a place to believe someone's their routine but then trying to applying it to you.
Yeah.
But it's not the same because everyone's skin is completely different.
Right.
And so it's having to find the right one or the right product. And if you are the right product, please contact us. We would love to sponsor you on our fucking show, man. That'd be so dope. 2021, we get a sponsor. You know what else is working well? Talking about the 2000s. It's working so well, isn't it?
I was going to cut all that out, too.
No! I was trying to find a segue. I'm like, how do I make the 2000s oily? Like,
you know what else was oily?
The Exxon Valdez, the Exxon Valdez spill in 2004.
All those new metal bands' hair.
Oh man, new metal, shout out. Yeah, so today we're not going to be talking about our skincare routine. We're going to be talking about someone else's skincare routine. And it's Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, because we're finally talking about The Simple Life. We loves it.
Yeah, loves it.
Loves it, loves it. I was just like, wow, that is still an endearing term that it can still be used now.
Yes.
They really were groundbreaking.
Yes.
This really was groundbreaking television.
I think part of the reason also I love Simple Life so much is because a favorite trope of mine is rich people having to live like they're not rich. Mm-hmm. And so that's really fun for me.
It's hype.
That's why I love Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a trope that I'm always going to get behind.
Yeah.
So
when was the first time you saw this show? Like, first time?
In, what year is it? Oh, God. Whatever year it was that Trump got elected the first time.
2016.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The first time.
Just time is an illusion.
Time very much is an illusion. And I saw Tenet last night. Yes. This is an illusion indeed.
Yeah, so I first saw it in 2016 with my roommates.
Yeah.
Because we went on a Simple Life binge for probably a couple months.
Yeah. It's honestly, you know, what was your impressions of it? Were you just like, holy shit, this is gold?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved it. I was a little bit absent that year, so I missed a lot of it, but I did enjoy it quite a bit. And me and one of the people I lived with basically talked like Paris and Nicole for the next year or so. And that's the one I've mentioned before. I have a Photoshop picture of us on the wall, so as Nicole and Paris, so.
I love. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, we took to it quite nicely.
It makes me laugh every time.
I can go to her and go sa sa sa, and she'll start going sa 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 sa.
It makes me laugh every single time. Because I hear it.
Yeah.
I hear it when I talk to her, and it's just like, yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
So this was a post 9/11 show, and I think this is the exact show we needed. Exactly. Because there's a point where they're at the Dairy Queen and there's the sign that says never forget, and then Paris and Nicole have to put up a new sign for like having half off fries with a burger, and then they put like half off anal wieners or like whatever after taking down a never forget sign. It is peak.
It's so good.
I love that this was at a time when reality shows weren't so camera obscura, in that like they're there but then they're not, and seeing middle of nowhere people have to be a part of a reality, like even they don't know how to be in front of the camera. There was no formula for this at that time.
It's total culture shock, but it goes both ways. Like, it's culture shock for Paris and Nicole. It's culture shock for the people they're with, you know?
And you can tell, like, they don't get it. Even if the producers, they're, like, feeding them lines of, like, all right, you guys come in here. You guys are going to argue this and that. Right. Even to script it feels so rigid. Right.
Well, it's like at the end of the season when they're leaving and the family's like, oh, we're going to miss you so much. I'm like, they aren't going to miss them at all. They are so excited to get back to their normal lives. And they had to cut the hell out of this scene in order to make it look like they would miss them.
Because then, like, the dad, like, the middle of, like, the morning, okay, bye, bye. And he just hops in his car and just gone. The only one I fell for was the grandmother, because she cried when they left.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, because there's a lot we don't see, and they're there for a month or so?
Yeah, they're there for a month.
And so we skip a lot of all the days. And so I'm sure there's been, like, off-camera bonding, Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're living with someone for that long, you're gonna bond.
Right. Like, well, it's like the little human kid, nature. The toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that kid was great.
I'm sure he got attached to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were nice to him and he got to play with the dog. And,
exactly.
You know, he's young, so he's not really, you know, affected by a lot of it.
The one of my favorite scenes was when the brother, like the oldest son, like has a breakup and they like harass the girl that broke up with her.
Yeah.
Like, kind of with him. And she was just like, why y'all being so mean to me? And she's like, we're actually going to have a threesome. He slept with me and Nicole. Yeah. And it's just like, holy. I'm like, they're so mean. Like, homegirl was just like, I just want to be friends.
And also, them being kind of predatory towards this teenage boy.
Mad predatory.
Clearly they're joking, but it's also like, okay, this is still highly inappropriate, though, even the jokes.
One of my favorite, like, one of the best lines is just like, hey, how old are you? Well, he's 17, I'm 18. She's like, oh, that's hot. She's like, okay, that's legal. That's like Nicole's favorite thing. It's just like, all she wants is dick. And that's all she's after.
It's a whole thing.
You know, and then like, I just remember the club scene, like the first time they go to the club, because there's a club in like somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska.
I want to know how far they had to drive to get there. And also, how did they get home?
My favorite thing is that when you imagine, when you go to like a shitty bar, a shitty club, you know what the DJ looks like.
Right.
Like we've gone to plenty of like shit bars and we know what the DJ looks like, or like we know the music is going to be playing. And so when the camera pans over to like, I think Paris and like the DJ of that club bar, and he just looks like hand-me-down Guy Fieri, I'm just like, this is exactly what I thought he would look like.
Yes.
This is exactly what this entire environment is. And seeing the clothes, seeing the patterns was incredibly triggering.
Yeah.
Like, seeing the multicolored stripes, the uneven striped polos, was just like something so, like, I wanted to rip my heart out. Like, mm-hmm. I just couldn't look at it. I'm like, I'm looking at my closet. Yeah. From when I was, like, 9.
Well, that, and then, like, what really kept getting me is Paris's low-rise jeans.
They talked about that.
So low.
They're horrendous. Because it gets to a point where it's just, like, it doesn't look good. And there's no way around that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was flattering.
Unless, especially if you're not extremely skinny.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have a flat stomach, it is not a look.
And she was like the image of flatness.
Yeah.
You know,
she and was even, just I think, flat and tall.
And I think that, I think at some point she says it in season one or season two, she's like, oh, thank God I'm flat. And it's just like, and she's like, she was like the image, like when people talk about like being thin, especially when mid 2000s, later 2000s, we start talking about a lot of our bodies, we start becoming more aware as we grow as a society. Like, Paris Hilton is the image that people hold up when they imagine flatness and, like, the American standard of beauty. They always turn to her, to which I'll never agree to.
Especially back then when, like, having a big butt was not considered desirable and, you know, things like
that. But now that's all anyone wants.
Yeah.
People get like ass
injections. Everyone wants the waist of Paris Hilton, but the ass and boobs of Lizzo.
Yeah. Yeah. Just without the midsection. They just want, like,
well, that's what I said. Like,
everything else.
Yeah. Paris Hilton middle. You know.
Yeah, it is a weird time. But back then, that was, like, that thing. It's just, like, how low can my pants go? Like, her and Keira Knightley were just, like, owning it with them sharp hips. Those, like, blades.
Yeah.
Those blades for hips.
Well, you know? I want to know if high-rise is ever going to become in men's fashion. Because, like, I have a coworker who the managers had to tell him to pull his pants up because his whole butt was hanging out at work. And mind you, this isn't a job where we get in trouble if we don't have our shirts tucked in. Like, that's the kind of place I work.
Well, men do wear shorts that are, like, way above the knee now, which is, like, the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just always hated shorts. Like, I've never liked shorts. There's just something.
You never really wear shorts, do you?
I don't wear. There's something very uncomfortable about wearing shorts, and so like I'm not a fan of shorts. Like I'll always wear jeans. Like there's just something inherently unnatural about shorts that just like bothers me. But I'll wear gym shorts. But I'll never wear like, you know, just like regular dress shorts. Because it's frowned upon if you wear cargo shorts. It's frowned upon if you wear denim shorts. So you got to wear like normal khaki shorts that are just very like plain. And I'm just not a fan of like my legs being out there. I feel very weird.
Fair enough.
You know. And so it is quite the time to see the fashion grow and to see the influence that she had and really that they had on pop culture and culture in general.
Yeah.
Like, they really set a standard. Wasn't a healthy standard.
No, but not at all.
It was a standard that we, a lot of people a little older than me, trying to follow.
Yeah.
And then if they started it and people start doing it, then Hollywood and pop culture start to do it too. Mm-hmm. Like, she really was a trendsetter.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and this show was really the genesis of a lot of the reality shows we have now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what's that show with like when they put like the Amish people inside like to be rich.
What's that show called? I know what you're talking about. I forget what it's called.
That was a good show. That was a real good show. And so with season one of like the Simple Life, it's very funny to me because like they're always laughing when they have to do something. Because number one, they obviously know it's super scripted, and I feel like they're just super high. They're really stoned because they're just constantly laughing.
They know that they don't have to actually do anything.
They don't have to do anything.
Like, they know that they're there to cause chaos. Like, no one's watching this show to see them, like, put their heads down and actually work hard.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are watching the show to be like, oh, ha, these, like, rich city girls don't know what to do in the country. They're just useless. Yeah. So, you know, that's
When they made Nicole shove her hand up the cow's ass.
Yes.
To check for pregnancy. Genius.
And it's fun.
Iconic.
You know what? Sometimes you just want to watch rich people do those dirty tasks, and it just it feels nice. That being said, sometimes it also sucks to see them do so little.
Yes.
Like, do things that anyone else would get so fired for in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. Like, when they fucking poured water in the milk, I was like holy shit.
Ruining people's businesses, you know.
Ruining people's businesses.
You know production has to sign a waiver. Like, they make the company sign a waiver that's like, you won't sue us for anything
these
girls
do. You won't sue us for this shit. Yeah. And they just like, and they just spilled all that milk. Yeah. And then in my mind, I thought about a few things. I was just like, number one, that's a health code violation. Number 100%. And number two, when people talk about the divide between rich and poor and like, kind of like that red, like the farm life and the urban life and the divide and how like, oh, like I just really hate these people just coming into our town. And like that divide, like this is a reality show, not just on two rich girls doing shit in a farm country in a small town, but this is a social discussion on our economics.
Yeah.
This is really what that is.
Right.
And it's genius. Yeah. It's fucking this is plain as day is what we can see.
The well, I remember
social
there was one part
economic divide
where they like they get paid for like half a day of work before they get fired or whatever, you know, as most of their days at work go.
Yeah.
But I remember they got like the amount of money and they were like, oh, this is barely minimum wage. And then I did the math and I'm like, they just got paid more than I got paid than I currently get paid.
And mind you, this is in 2001.
You know minimum wage was not that high.
Adjust for inflation.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
and especially
it's way
like if you're
more.
Doing like basic farm work.
Mm-hmm.
So like when they worked on the dairy farm, they walked around the field ringing a bell to bring the cows in. They hosed down some udders and they put some milk in some bottles. That is it. That is all they did all day. As far as dairy farm job goes, like, they didn't have to do a whole lot. They had it pretty damn easy.
Yeah.
And they still got paid at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
And it seemed like a farm that wasn't for much mass production, I would say. It seemed more pretty local. Regional. It seemed pretty regional. And because I was just like, if this was a mass production house, this would be, this is nothing. Because they're having to milk hundreds or thousands of cows by machine, you know. And this one's a little more thing. And also shout out to Paris and Nicole for being animal rights activists. Because in season two, they have to brand cows. And they are vehemently against it. They're just like, this is cruelty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, there's a better way to do it. And so it's like, well, here, like, blah, and like, it's some cow lady, which is like, well, here, like, we have to do this. Like, here's our tradition because all the farmers have to know which cows are theirs. And then she starts to mark them up with lipstick instead.
And I mean, you like, need something besides lipstick. Yeah. There are other options.
Yeah. And then, you know, she was just like, we don't have to brand them. And then they realize they're taking them to like, a butcher house. And so they offer to buy a cow. To save one. I was just like, that's animal rights right there. An activist for so long, honestly. The amount of labor they had to do here was, like, laughable. The best shit ever is when they have to work at Dairy Queen. That's the best one.
They barely, like, it's so funny because they really do barely have to do anything. And especially for some jobs, like, working at, like, you know, like, little chains and... Like, on farms and things like that. Like, these are not jobs that are typically super high paying.
Yeah. You know? It's slow. Yeah. But it's just for... It's enough for you to live, especially in that town.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know? It's not...
I mean, you know, minimum wage in Georgia and Wyoming is $5.15 per hour.
Holy shit.
That being said, the Fair Labor Act, you know, the federal wage is usually the... applied amount, but it's still very low.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Don't you just love that?
Yeah, I know. The Dairy Queen episode is one of my favorites because Nicole has to throw in like all the fried onions into like the batter and then into like a bucket, but then she forgets to like peel the layers and just tosses them in.
Oh my god. Oh yeah.
And then the two managers are like, well, you're gonna have to do this again.
That was at Sonic.
Sonic. I thought it was Dairy Queen. Why am I getting my shit mixed up? So funny enough, when we took that trip to North Carolina, when we went to Nag's Head, I had never had Sonic before in my life until that day.
I remember we went for breakfast, right?
Yeah, because we didn't have any food. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember being very hungry.
Yeah. It was very gross. I did not like it.
I like Sonic.
I think it's just because it was early in the morning and it's
cheap. It is cheap. Food, and for what you're cheap. Paying for, it's not bad. It's not the best fast food ever.
I'll have it again.
But you know what? I would personally take it over like McDonald's.
Over a McMuffin?
Yeah.
That might be cap.
If I had to do breakfast from any fast food chain, Taco Bell. Crunchwrap Supreme. Breakfast Crunchwrap Supreme. Beautiful.
I've never had their breakfast. Is it bomb?
Breakfast Crunchwrap Supreme. I think about it constantly.
I have to venture to go find a Taco Bell here.
You know what the Crunchwrap is, right?
Yes.
So the breakfast one has eggs. You can do sausage or bacon, cheese, and then a big hash brown in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has like chipotle sauce in it as well. It is just...
I actually made myself breakfast burritos two hours ago because I was just like, I don't want to eat bread. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of tortillas. I was like, let me just make this shit.
I used to eat a lot of breakfast burritos sophomore year of college because it was something I could throw together and then walk around campus with it because I was always in a hurry to go places. Mm-hmm. It was a very busy bee that year.
I just realized we're so off topic.
Yeah. Just talking about breakfast.
Well, because we were talking about Sonic, so it just led into one thing into another. Hungry. But it's my favorite thing. And then when she's rollerblading, and it's also they were working in heels, which was kind of funny.
Also, them like, flirting with all the old men.
Flirting with holy shit. So that's like one of the wildest things. They're just like all up on these guys, even though like older dudes, just like, oh, do you have a son? It's just like, do you have a grandson? Yeah. He's just like hitting him up. And just like, yeah, I love sweaty men.
I think they'll just hit on anything with a penis.
Yeah. And it's also fun.
Yeah.
For them. Because they really introduce it. Because it's just dudes wanting to get food, and just like it's like, hey, gorgeous. I'm just like, what? Yeah. It's like, yo, just give me my shake. Like, let me get out of here.
Big, like, sweaty guy with a beard.
Big sweaty dude named Bart. You know,
and they're like, oh my god, I love your beard.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I love your beard. You're so sweaty. You must work hard.
That's hot.
That's hot. It's, oh man. Did you notice, and did you even like kind of rewatching it, did you squirm hearing Paris fake her voice sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like we've known her real voice. I just never noticed, and then rewatching, I'm just like, that's her voice. It's just really deep.
Yeah.
It's really deep and like scratchy.
Yeah.
But then when she fakes it, it's so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just so weird. Like, it's very much a, like, not watching her documentary, but reading about her story, it very much is a defense mechanism mm-hmm. for her. I was just like, holy shit, dude. We've been watching this for so long and never saw the trauma underneath. It's crazy.
I kind of want to hear about Paris Hilton's trauma, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just curious.
It's interesting. It's just like growing up in a boarding school, you know, rich
like,
parents.
I feel like it'd be, yeah, I was going to say, it feels like there'd be a lot of like parental issues.
Yeah, there's definitely, I could see that.
It always goes back to the parents, doesn't it? So much trauma.
Yeah. I think she talked about how like she wanted to tell her parents, but she knew they wouldn't really believe her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she was like verbally, physically abused in like a boarding school, you know, and like everything she did was her fault.
Yeah.
And so like her, like that high pitched voice she does is like a whole persona. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a character that she created. And it's just like, fuck, that's deep.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Well, I think that's like on Simple Life, I think a lot of the whole Paris Hilton image that people see is very much someone she has curated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't watch The Simple Life and think that that is, like, the genuine her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't believe that. Because I really think she's incredibly intelligent.
I think she's really good at marketing herself.
Incredibly.
For whatever the times require and for whatever works for her in that moment, I think she's really good at adapting and acting in ways that helps her.
Yeah. Exactly. She's incredibly intelligent. You know. And seeing her and Nicole Richie now, and the way they speak is just like completely different, because you know, growth, you get older. And so
Nicole,
you know,
Richie had a cameo in some show I was watching like a year or so ago. I can't remember. But I remember I was just like, why is she so familiar? And I had to look it up, and I realized it was Nicole Richie. I'm like, that is... Let me see if I can figure out what it is.
Holy shit. You guys want to hear some breaking news?
Let's hear it.
I just got... All right, so... I work in D.C. So, as we all know, things are...
I don't want to hear about D.C.
Sorry. All right, so basically...
No, go ahead.
I got to tell the wife. So, basically, a coworker emailed everybody saying, a very nice officer told me Secret Service takes over Sunday. May not let anyone in for any reason. They may also put concrete barriers in front of every garage.
Great.
So, anyways, The Simple Life.
Also, the show I was thinking of was Grace and Frankie. She has a cameo in Grace and Frankie.
Everyone's in that show.
Yeah.
Everyone's in that show.
She has a little cameo as, like, I think, like, a celebrity who's trying to buy their house or something like that.
That's pretty good.
And she's, like, insane in it. It's great.
That is such a good show.
Yeah, it's a really fun cameo.
That's a really good show.
Yeah. Great show.
I really should start from the beginning and just, like, because I've only seen it here, like, a few episodes here and there, like, season two or three.
Oh, I've watched all of it.
Yeah, I've really got to, like, kind of go through it because it's a lot of great actors in there.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's one of those shows that's like, there are a lot of shows about older people that are not fun for anyone besides older people to watch. Grace and Frankie, I think, is one that anyone can connect with, no matter your age.
Yeah, because it deals with like genuine love, and especially if you're older, like these are feelings that you feel too.
Yeah,
you know, it's
like
you're getting older, like
love, and also genuine like platonic love, which mm-hmm. I think is great. Is like, mm-hmm. and it's not just like friendship; like it really, like it is like. true platonic love, and it's like, yeah. But like, for very much built on a foundation of like trust and not just on chemistry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, no, it's such great. A great show. Highly recommend.
So here's some fun trivia. Some pretty good ones. So one episode, I think in season one, one episode was originally supposed to feature, no, I think it's in season two or three. One episode was supposed to feature Hilton and Richie working in a school. However, due to complaints from parents, the episode was never made.
That doesn't surprise me.
That would have been wild. Because apparently they were the scourge, you know, coming to brainwash your children. I'm just like, that would have been hilarious if they taught a school.
It would have been so funny, yeah. It would have been a terrible idea, but yes, it would have been funny.
Ratings. It would have been ratings. Originally, producers wanted Paris and her sister to do it, but her sister said no.
And so that's how they got Nicole. I think Paris and Nicole are so much fun, though. Like, their dynamic is fun.
That relationship is like this.
Yeah.
For four seasons, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they're because they've been friends since they were children.
Yeah.
And so that connection is there. I love that Paris drives all the time.
Yes.
Because Nicole doesn't have a license.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. Out of the both of us, out of you and me, which one of us is Paris and which one of us is Nicole?
I feel like you're Nicole.
That's what the wife said. That's what the wife said.
Yeah.
I'm Nicole. I don't think you're Paris, though. You could be, though.
I think I'm Paris. I think, like, if we had to choose of the two of us, who would be who, I think you're more inclined to be Nicole than I would be. Like, I think you're more likely to be Nicole than Paris, if that makes sense.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely more louder.
Yeah.
Definitely more energetic.
Yeah.
The two.
You have that, like, loud action energy.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paris Hilton said in a 2006 interview that the show was mostly scripted, obvious. And especially, like, seeing in season one where they were scripted parts, like, the obvious scripted parts. Yeah. It's just, like, ugh. It felt so... I was like, how clean is this lighting right now?
Right.
You know? And apparently... Like, oh, sorry. Go on.
No, I think, like, especially the people from that area, like, super scripted. I want to know how much of what Paris and Nicole said was scripted versus what wasn't. Because some of the stuff they say, I'm like, I don't feel like this is scripted. I feel like it's too out of pocket.
Yeah, there are certain things that they do and they say that are very, like, in the moment.
Yeah.
But you can obviously tell when they have to say that's hot or loves it. At, like, it's just in their contract that they have to say these things.
Yeah,
like,
they have a minimum.
There's a quota per episode, how many times you have to say it. In a 2006 interview, she said that it was mostly scripted, and the kind of character she was portraying in that show was inspired by Legally Blonde and Clueless.
I love that. Which is a
no-brainer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the pink, the dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just... It's iconic. The product placements for season one were Sonic, Funyuns, Saran Wrap, McDonald's, Mountain Dew Code Red.
So specific.
Because that's a very 2000s flavor. And Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So at this time in 2001, I had no idea what Walmart was. I didn't live in Virginia. And I was like, what the fuck is Walmart? And then I just remember seeing rollback commercials of the smiley face knocking down prices.
Oh my God, yeah.
And it was traumatizing to see that. Because I'm just like, holy shit. Like, who shops here? Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2006 and I'm shopping at Walmart.
Of course.
You know, they're going to get you somehow.
Yeah. Well, they always do. One thing about it being scripted is I'm like, this is one of those shows where people are like, well, you know, reality shows isn't actually real. Like, it's scripted. I'm like, yes, and it's still entertaining.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. It's like, you can, as long as you're not watching The Simple Life being like, oh, this is 100%
real,
natural, genuine interactions. Yeah. Like, yeah, you, it's scripted. And you think The Bachelor's real love? Like, come on. Every reality show is scripted, or like, obviously.
Like, you know, it's a reality show. It's always going to be scripted because you can't. If reality wasn't scripted, it'd be boring.
Yeah.
It'd be so boring.
Yeah. Like, it's.
They wouldn't be doing. Like, literally, if. It's the like Simple Life was a one camera.
The Wildlife Channel is scripted. Like, you think they don't create these situations? You think they just happen to be there to film this rare event?
Yeah.
No. Everything is scripted. Nothing is real. Yeah.
Nothing is real, dude. Like, they're just like, well, it's scripted. I'm just like, well, so is television. You know, you don't watch Harry Potter and be like, yo, this is out in Romania. Did you know this? Like, No, it's not. It's not real, idiot.
Yeah.
Here's one of my favorite fun facts ever. And I want to preface by saying this is also a decent breakfast, and I like it, okay? In season one, Paris Hilton orders what appears to be McDonald's before going to the auction house and pre-sorting cattle. She orders a number one, which currently would be coffee, egg, an egg McMuffin, and a hash brown. She swaps the coffee for orange juice instead. In 2003, this meal would have cost $4.79, but currently, in 2021, it costs $6.76.
Blasphemy.
Holy shit. I think an Egg McMuffin alone is $2. Because I have ordered an Egg McMuffin alone.
How dare you, Jason.
And because I'm a pig, I order two.
Okay, but McDonald's coffee is, like, pretty good, though.
Says who?
Me. Like, if you're going to get fast food coffee,
all right.
McDonald's is better than a lot of other places.
Stop. We have to stay on topic. We can talk about this after. So I can yell at you after and tell you you're fucking wrong. Because apparently your coffee, you're literally an old person, Catherine. You're literally old. You're so fucking old.
You're older
dude.
Than me.
No, but you're older. You're older. You're older. Your knees don't work. You have like the taste buds of my father. Like, oh my god, Catherine.
Did I tell you I took up crocheting?
Get out, boomer. Fucking boomer. And then the polo sweater fit? I'm like, get out of here, man.
It's not a polo. It's a corduroy button-up.
Oh, boy. It's just as bad. Oh, my God, Catherine. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't pray for you. I sigh for you. Oh, my God. That's so good. So I've seen season... We've kind of stopped watching season two a little bit. But season two is a lot of fun. And there is a moment where it is unscripted.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's this asshole dude, this is a shitty family they stay with because they're traveling from Florida through the South to get to California again, and so they're in a truck and they have an RV, and of course like the premise is they're picked up in the middle of the street, like, oh, we're gonna start now, and they're like shopping, and they hop in the car, and Nicole's like, I didn't bring my ID. And so Paris has to drive the entire time, which is hilarious.
That's great.
But, you know, kind of shout out to her for driving cross country, really.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, and so there's a bit where they stay with a shitty family, and one of the sons is such a shitty... He's mean to them. And at this point, a lot of the families know who they are because of season one. So everyone knows. This was, like, this show was a massive hit. They know. Mm-hmm. And so... at the time, the guy was being this fat white guy with a lazy eye. And he was like one of the older sons. And he was just a piece of shit. Like, he would say, hey, so what do you make your waiter do for you at home? And Paris is just like, well, I don't have a butler. I cook for myself. Thank you very much. Like, I don't do that. Your preconceived notions of who I am don't match up. And they're incredibly mean to them. And at some point, he makes a joke about Nicole and calls them dumb. And Nicole completely breaks formula. And it's just like, I want you to look me in the eye. And if you call me or Paris idiots again, I'm going to fuck you up. I will beat the shit out of you.
I love
that. She, like, completely like no script, just in the moment.
And that's you energy. Told them. That's you energy.
So I have a clip to show you about me energy. I'll show it to you later. But it was just like very like, this is a moment that's unscripted. That's just like telling this loser. It's just like, you fucking say anything to me or her again like that, I'm going to fuck you up. I'll beat the shit out of you. The guy didn't say anything afterwards. And he just kind of walked off. I'm like, fucking good. Like, this is a shitty family. And so by the end of it, they kind of decide, we don't want to stay here. Let's just get the fuck out of here. And so they pulled out all the good dinnerware to eat barbecue. And they eat without them. And they're just like, I wonder where they went. Oh, well. And they just left. They just were not staying there. I'm like, honestly saying, fuck that family.
Mm-hmm.
You're so mean to them. So, so mean.
It's like, you agreed to do this.
Yeah. And they meet, like, interesting families, like, along the way. They have to stay at, like, other people's houses. And they meet, like a black pastor that doesn't allow cursing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Nicole's like, what, so you can't say pussy? It's like the funniest shit. I'm like, yeah, this is me energy 100 times. 100 times. Yeah. Definitely Nicole.
That's definitely
you. Well, you can't say bitch, fuck. It's just like, oh, my God. And so, like, they kind of learn. They kind of meet interesting families along the way. And they kind of have small connections here and there. And then there's one family that helped them with, like, their truck got caught in the mud. They, like, helped them out. And they were so nice to them. And it was just, you know, it's very interesting to see how they connect with people that are not a part of their world.
Right.
Like, completely middle-class families.
Right. I mean, I don't think they connected and bonded as much with some of the people as the show, like, kind of, you know, is scripted to try and make you think. But that being said, I think it was still an experience that, for them, kind of opened their eyes to a lot of things that they wouldn't have ever seen before. And I do believe that they made a few genuine connections, even if they weren't like, oh, we're gonna hang out and visit each other for years, you know.
Yeah,
but like, you know, it's
lessons learned.
Like, I think there were lessons learned, although maybe not as much as the show wants you to think.
Because honestly, like, even like Nicole and Paris have always said, like, that show was like the door for every opportunity they've had now.
Yeah,
you know, that was like the gateway for them, you know. And so I really do agree. Like, I was watching Paris talk with Andy Cohen, and they asked like what her favorite moment was, and she was like, Sonic, honestly. Like, her being like on like the rollerblades serving food at Sonic. Yeah. Was, like,
I also love them
ever.
Being dressed up, and then they just went like in the straws, in like the soda straws, and then they just went across the street to the store.
This was honestly a stoner comedy.
Yeah.
Like, they just go across the street and they're just laughing, like, and they're flicking off people in the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
yeah.
Complete. That's me energy, man. That's me energy.
Exactly.
In the big French fry suit, and like the two managers just have to drag them out. You think this is funny? Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, ha, ha, ha. They're just laughing at them. It's just like Beavis and Butthead. It's just like laughing at them completely. It's so funny. I should really finish up like the whole series. I really think they should reboot this, though. I think especially now when the country is so divided.
Yeah, it might help.
It could
bring
help
everyone back. What if Simple Life is what healed this country's wounds?
Honestly, because I think we're really, as much as it's dumb and scripted, we're seeing the cultural split between middle class.
Right.
Southern and kind of urban, more liberal side.
Well, and you know, they're not trying to pretend like they get along and like they see on the same page. Like, they're not trying to pretend like, oh, look, we are all the same. It's like, no, there are vast differences, but it's possible to meet in the middle. You know what I mean?
It is possible to exist together.
Yeah.
You know,
like, you can coexist and you may not be on the same page. You may not agree on a lot of things. You may have very different lifestyles, but you can coexist and, you know, at least respect each other as human beings, you know?
Paris Hilton would make a great UN ambassador.
Okay. But so if they rebooted it and they didn't have Paris and Nicole on it, who do you think should be in Simple Life? If they were to reboot it, like, this year.
It should be Lori Loughlin's daughter, the one from the college scandal. Her and What's the name? Felicity Huffman's daughter. Interesting. I don't know any other rich kids like, mm-hmm. like, you know, like that. But I think it's just because the shit they went through, the shit they did, and they can deny all they want that they had no idea. But I think forcing them to, like, here's a car, and you're going to drive cross country through the South.
Yeah.
And sleep in people's houses and learn might be humbling, as scripted as it is,
mm-hmm.
but they're still going to be interacting with these people.
Yeah.
On a personal, them is like intimate real level.
People, not just people on the internet.
And
you know?
The struggle.
Yeah.
Honestly, community service. Let's just throw them into Beyond Scared Straight instead.
Yes.
But I think those are two examples that I would do. Mm-hmm. And it would be hated. It would be like a terrible, like, oh, we're giving them, like, oh, we're going to give them money. We're going to, like, hand them a platform. But it's just like, but you're going to watch.
Yeah.
Because you cannot help yourself, but you want to see them suffer.
Yeah.
You want to see them, like, get attacked by a horse.
Right.
You know? like you just want to see something happen to them. Or you want to see them learn.
Right.
You know? And so, I don't pity them, but I want to see some growth
yeah.
from them. I want yeah. them to learn something from different cultures and different people.
Because mm-hmm.
I think, like, they've talked about, like, that Lori Loughlin's kid talked on Red Table Talk about how, like, you know, she was incredibly sheltered for a lot of her life because they live in a bubble. You're in LA. You're in a bubble. If you're in LA, you're in a bubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't go out because everything's there. Mm-hmm. All the culture is there, but then you have all the money.
Right.
And you don't need all that. And so you're incredibly sheltered, you know, as opposed to, say, if she grew up in, like, Massachusetts.
Right.
Or, like, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole different thing. And well, so like maybe Georgia's those are two
like
candidates. That,
where like Atlanta is a bubble, and like being in Atlanta versus being anywhere else in Georgia is a very, very different experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And so those are two candidates. I don't know any other like low key celebrity kids like that.
Yeah, I don't really keep track of celebrities
or kids, you yeah. know.
Neither you know. In general.
Jaden Smith.
Oh my God.
He would just, like, spread conspiracy theories around, like, the South.
Oh, my God.
He's like, yeah, 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 dude. What about fucking nitrates.
What about Ivanka Trump?
No, they're so bad. They should be cast out, man, onto an island. They should be thrown. Thrown okay, out of the
okay,
world.
Okay, the survival show, but with the Trump family.
Survivor?
Yeah.
Naked and Afraid, but with the Trumps.
Yes.
Honestly, the best. But Melania, my aunts are crawling on my butt. It's just couldn't do it.
See, I would watch it. Like, I wouldn't watch anything else they're in, but I would watch that.
Yeah.
Because that's reparations, baby.
Final thoughts? That is reparations. Final thoughts?
I mean, I'm probably going to go watch more of it, because now all this talking about it just makes me want to go watch it.
Watch more of it.
On someone else's Amazon Prime account. They haven't questioned my watching of this yet. We'll see if they catch on.
Great show. You guys should watch it. It's pretty good. Amazing show. Yeah, so we are excited for this new year. We got plenty of fun ideas.
So
potential
many.
Merch. Potential merch.
Yeah.
So it's a great show. Watch it. Highly recommend. A family watch, if anything. It's a big family watch. It's a lot of fun. Because my parents love this show.
I need to find a simple life drinking game.
Yeah. So, oh no. So
I got a new hard seltzer I found that I liked, and I'm ready to party.
So next episode, we are going to have a special guest. And by special, I mean Jim, because we're going to be talking about Jersey Shore Part 2.
So we got to have Jim back.
We got to have Jim back. And this time we'll be sober. It'll be sober.
And I watched, I don't know, I never finished Jersey Shore, but I made it almost to the end.
Yeah.
I got to a point in my life where it was stressing me out too much, and I had to watch stuff that was more relaxing.
Okay. Because once you're in it, and you're in that relationship, you're a part of it.
I was not at a point where I was mentally stable enough to watch Jersey Shore in my free time. It
so
just gave me
imagine
anxiety.
This. Imagine this week by week.
Yeah.
Like having to wait 7 days for that next anxiety to calm down or be amped up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So That's it for this week, guys. We're back, and we will promise to be more adept to our bi-weekly schedule.
Don't
right, Catherine?
That. Don't promise that, Jason.
I will promise it. I promise it multiple
that.
Times.
Don't promise that, Jason.
Bad dad. Bad dad. Broken promises. All right. Goodbye, and be safe out there. Wear a mask.
Ew.